What we believe here at Daleville Christian Church can be found in God's Word, and this affirmation of our faith together is taken from the letter to the Colossians in the first chapter. You'll find it in verses 11, 13 through 14. Be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Today's reading from God's Word is from Mark's Gospel, the third chapter, just the first six verses. Another time He went, that is Jesus, another time He went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched Him closely to see if He would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked round at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisee went and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. The Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. I began last Sunday mentioning that here at Daleville Christian Church, we look at the Bible. We look at the Bible every week. It is God's instruction book. God gives life, and along with the gift comes instructions. However, there's another reason that we look at the Bible. The Bible also tells us what God is doing. You might even say that the Bible is God's to-do list. The Lord tells us what He is doing, and the Lord tells us what He wants to do, and the Lord tells us what the Lord intends to do. We like to remind ourselves that God has a plan. God has a plan for all of us, and some of God's plans are outlined here in God's book, the Bible. The Bible isn't about things that happened long ago. Oh, there's some of that in there. We could say that the Bible is an agenda, and God is working God's agenda. God intends to redeem His creation. God intends to save this world. And any of us who have lived very long know this world needs saving. God intends to bring His kingdom right to you. So questions come up. Are we receiving what the Lord wants us to receive? Are we open to receive it? Are we watching for what the Lord wants to bring? Jesus said words like ask, knock, watch, seek. So I can ask, are you? Are you seeking? Are you asking? Are you watching? Are you knocking? One part of the Lord's agenda we've been noticing this season is restoration. Jesus came to restore what was broken in our world. Lives, broken hearts, broken health, broken minds, broken relationships with the Heavenly Father, broken relationships with one another. Judas broke fellowship with Jesus and the disciples. The disciples broke fellowship with Jesus. Because the Bible tells us, in the moment of trial, they all forsook Jesus and fled away from Him. Jesus restored that relationship. Jesus restored the 11 disciples to their place in Jesus' plan for them. This season, Daleville Christian Church looks at Jesus restoring and healing what was broken because Jesus came to restore us also. Jesus came to restore to us all the ways that we need restoration. It is God's agenda. Are you on it? Are you participating in it? Today we're looking at just 6 verses from Mark's Gospel book, but there's an important word in these 6 verses. The word is restored. Jesus restored a man. Jesus restored the man's limb, his hand. So we'll take a look. Now, there may be a little title, if you have one in your Bible, and you should remember that the little titles in your Bible are not the Bible. The publisher of the Bible puts little titles in to guide you, but the original Bible text does not have little titles. The original languages don't even have punctuation. Your title might say that Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Sabbath is the holy day, a day of rest. That's how we even have weekends. God created the weekend. The Jews honored Saturday, and Christians honored Sunday, the day of resurrection. That is how we even happen to be here today on Sunday. 2,000 years ago, the disciples found Jesus' tomb empty on a Sunday, and believers have been meeting on Sunday ever since. But back to Mark's book. So in the Bible here, and Mark says, another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and it mentions later, it is the Sabbath, we can know that Jesus was going to worship. Jesus is going to church, so to speak. And if you were going to say Jesus was going to worship, Jesus was going to church, this is exactly how you would say it in the Greek language. So I, as pastor, have to ask the obvious question. Jesus went to worship, and Jesus was God. So how important do you think worship is? Maybe worship is even more important than we think it is. If we're not sure we are getting something out of worship, we should ask some questions. Remember, Jesus said, ask. We can ask God to give us more in worship. We can ask God if we are missing something in worship that God is giving. We can ask God if the church is missing something in worship that God is giving. We can ask, Lord, is it me or is it you that I'm having trouble appreciating worship? And remember to be completely open to the answer you receive. We can ask all those things because Jesus said we can ask and seek and knock and watch. Okay, so Jesus went to church, or as it says, synagogue. Jesus was in worship. And there was a point in last week's passage of Scripture I did not bother to point out at the time, that Scripture from John's Gospel was more about Jesus than about the man who was healed. But although we are not told anything about the man's faith that Jesus healed, later we are told that the man was in worship. Jesus found the man in the temple. So the man went to the temple after he was healed. It's in John chapter 5. The man went to give thanks, or he went to give an offering. But before the man was healed, the man could not go to the temple because he was disfigured. That was what some of the rabbis taught. No blemished people in worship. God wants pure offerings, they said. Blemished people need not apply. And more than once, when Jesus healed someone, he told them to go to the priest, prove their healing, as the Jewish law commanded. We don't know much about that man in John's chapter 5, but we do know that once he was healed, he was worshiping God, because after the man's healing, he could go and worship the Lord. Now, there's a little backstory to what we are reading and looking at today in Mark chapter 3. Jesus is having yet another confrontation in the synagogue with the Pharisees, as they're mentioned in verse 6. This is the 5th conflict that Jesus has had since the beginning of chapter 2 in Mark's Gospel. Jesus has had a confrontation with the Jewish authorities over forgiving sins, calling a tax collector as a disciple, questions on fasting, working on the Sabbath, and here in chapter 3 is a confrontation, the 5th confrontation. The issue is healing on the Sabbath, And we've looked at this issue already. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is the authority. We don't know exactly what the man suffered from. What we do know is that based on the teaching of the rabbis, the man was not in worship that day with any expectation of being healed. The man was not in worship to get what he needed, which was healing. The man was in worship for some other purpose. We can only guess that since the man would not expect to be healed on that Saturday, that the man was there for some other purpose, perhaps seeking God's presence, or to hear God's word, or to give God praise. But since the Pharisees taught, or the leaders of the Jews taught at that time and in that place, that you would not be healed on the Sabbath, they weren't going to participate in your healing on the Sabbath. The man couldn't go to synagogue on Saturday on the Sabbath and expect to be healed. So the Jewish man is in worship, but with no chance of being healed that day. This man was healed that day when Jesus walked into the synagogue. The man that could not have expected healing in the synagogue and on the Sabbath, or expect healing on the Sabbath from the Jewish leaders, that man does receive healing from Jesus. The man was healed that day when Jesus walked into the synagogue. It says that his hand was restored. Mark uses the same word again in chapter 8, verse 25, and in that scripture, a man has his sight restored. Because this is what God is doing. This restoration that is taking place is God's activity. This isn't much about this man, his faith and his actions, although the man is in worship seeking God. But nothing new happened that day until Jesus walked into that synagogue. I came upon a quote from Pastor Charles Stanley that summarizes the point the Bible in Mark's book is making. Pastor Charles Stanley said, "We are either in the process of resisting God's truth or in the process of being shaped and molded by His truth." We are either in the process of resisting God's truth or we are in the process of being shaped and molded by His truth. The truth walked in that day in Jesus, and this man accepted God's truth and was healed. Even though the man had been told that God's truth wouldn't heal that day, the man received the healing God had for him in Jesus. God makes things new in Jesus Christ. The risen Jesus said in the book of Revelation, "I am making all things new." Friends, our God is the God of the surprise ending. We don't decide the ending. God in Christ decides the ending. We are either moving with what God is doing, or we are resisting what God is doing. Notice there's no in-between there. There's no middle ground. Because as we noted in Jesus' words last week, Jesus said, "My heavenly Father is working to this day, and I am working." So are you with Jesus on this? Are you working with Jesus? Because Jesus is at work. I quoted Victor Marx last week, a man who works with troubled youth, because Victor Marx was an abused and troubled youth. But Jesus was at work in Victor Marx's life. Victor Marx said, "God is ready and eager to heal you and restore you. He can tenderly pick up the broken pieces of your life bit by bit and reshape them into beauty and strength. This is God's desire for you, my friend," he writes. "Don't be discouraged if your restoration looks hopeless. It took me a while to come to this place of healing, but I can say without a doubt, Jesus wants to do the same for you." Listen to our Lord's beautiful words of encouragement for me and for you. And here Victor Marx quotes Isaiah 61, which Jesus himself quotes. These same words Jesus began his public ministry with in another synagogue so long ago, where Jesus read the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Friends, our God in Christ isn't just talking about restoration. Our God in Christ is working restoration. Jesus brings the restoration. Jesus brought the restoration 2,000 years ago, and Jesus brings restoration now. Today, Jesus is at work still. Isaiah chapter 61 goes on to say in verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God is in the habit of bringing joy and comfort and beauty. Jesus is restoring us. Jesus will restore us. It is His work. The question is whether you are ready and willing to receive the restoration that the Lord is bringing. Will you wear the garment of praise? Let Jesus bring to you the restoration that He is working for you. Amen.